What is happening with the U.S. presidential election? What are electors? And what does certifying the vote mean? These are questions that I've been getting from you, and I wanted to make a video to try to explain a little bit of the process. I'm Emily Bose, and this is Smart Citizen. I'm going to give you a quick overview of the process, and then we're going to dive more in depth. For the sake of simplicity, I'm going to use dates that relate to this year, to 2020, even though some of those dates change between elections because they're related more to specific days. For instance, the presidential election is always on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November.
What did she say?
But because that's a little confusing to talk about, I'm just going to use the 2020 dates. And then in the future, the process will be the same, but the dates might be slightly different. I do have an infographic on my Instagram and my website that explain a little bit more about this timeline and have it in a visual format if you want to be able to see that. So let's dive into the timeline overview and then we'll get into more detail. Before the election, the parties in both states chose and nominated their slate of electors. Then on November 3rd or before, we went and cast our ballots in the presidential election. That started the canvassing and certification process, and every state has different deadlines related to that as far as when their votes are supposed to be certified. The last day that any controversies are supposed to be resolved regarding the election is December 8th, and then the electors vote on December 14th this year. The final electors' votes are sent to the President of the Senate, who is the Vice President of the United States, on December 23rd, and then on January 6th, a joint session of Congress meets. They open up and read all of the electoral votes. They're tallied, and if anyone has more than 270 electoral votes, they are immediately declared to be the winner of the election, and then the election can be certified. And then on January 20th, that person is inaugurated as the president and, of course, the vice president of the United States. That is the overview of how our process typically works. There's obviously a few things that have been a little bit different this year.
You don't say.
We'll see how they all play out, but the process is generally the same. Let's dive into a little bit more detail. We talked about the slate of electors being selected and nominated by the different parties.
You? And I went, yeah, and he goes, you.
But a lot of people don't understand what those electors are, what they do. When our country was founded, this electoral process was created to be a compromise between having a straight popular vote and having Congress elect a president. So they created kind of a fusion of the two where the parties select electors, voters technically vote for the electors, and then the electors vote for the president. So when you and I go, we fill out a ballot and we circle one of the presidential candidates' names, we're actually telling our state, these are the electors that I want to vote for, or even this is the party whose electors I want to have select this candidate for president. And so then based on that popular vote, the electors are selected. The Electoral College has come into a little bit more of the public eye over the last few years. There are people who really love it and who really don't like it.
You know what? No. Well,
there's a lot of reasons for both that you can dig into. I'll just mention two that I find interesting. The first is a reason for it, is that it allows states with smaller populations to still have a voice in the presidential process. So a state like Wyoming, for instance, that has a much smaller population, still gets to have a minimum of 3 Electoral College votes. Even though they don't have the population of, say, a state like California that has 55 electoral votes, they still get to have a voice, which allows their voters to feel like their vote matters and help them get out and vote and be involved.
On the other hand,
a reason that people don't like it is that they say it makes it harder for third-party candidates to be break into the national election.
So, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Let me in. Let me in.
48 of the 50 states are winner-take-all states, meaning in a state like California, if you win 51% of the popular vote in California, you get all 55 electoral votes. The only two states that have proportional electoral voting is Nebraska and Maine. All of the other states have said whoever wins the popular vote gets all of our electoral votes. So that makes it harder for a third party candidate who's not likely to get the majority of the popular vote to actually break into the national scene or have a major effect on the election. After the election, the states count the votes, and there are different dates and deadlines and things for that process. It's called canvassing.
Okay. Oh, someone's in there. This is going to be fun. Are you excited?
Excited, yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes,
are
definitely.
Are you pumped up?
Yes.
Okay, look humble, but confident.
Going through and making sure that there's no discrepancies in the vote, correcting any errors or issues, making sure everything looks good, and then once that process is complete, there are different means and ways and dates and processes by which candidates can request recounts or audits of the vote. Those vary state by state. But once that's fully completed, the state certifies their election results. Usually the governor or the secretary of state issues a certification announcement of the vote, and they basically say, our vote is complete and valid, and these are the results. And then based on those results, the electors are selected.
Now, the coin toss to see who goes first. Okay. Somebody call it this time.
Yeah. The electors vote on December 14th, and typically the electors always vote with the party that sent them to vote. There are occasionally what are called faithless electors that vote with a different party than the one they were chosen by. It's very rare, and quite a few states have laws that say that you're not allowed to be a faithless elector, that you have to vote with the party that sent you because it's representing the will of the people in that sense. But technically in some states, the electors are allowed to vote however they see fit, because technically when you vote for president, you're voting for the electors, and then the electors vote for the president. Once the electors have finalized their votes, they're sealed and sent to the President of the Senate, who's the Vice President of the United States, and then they're brought to a joint session of Congress on January 6th of 2021, where they will be opened, read aloud, tallied, and if someone adds up to 271 during that process, then they should be immediately declared to be the winner of the presidency, and the Congress will certify that, and we will have our next president.
Yay!
If for some reason neither candidate reaches 270 or both tie at 270, immediately the Congress votes. The House of Representatives gets to vote for the president. Every state gets one vote, no matter how many representatives they have. And then the Senate votes for the vice president, and every senator gets one vote. Once that's done, whoever wins those votes is then certified and declared as the winner of the election, and then that president and vice president elect are sworn in on January 20th and inaugurated and immediately become the president and vice president of the United States. And then this will finally be over.
What did Washington say to his troops as they crossed the Delaware? I'm sure you're well aware.
What'd they say?
We can do it. We can do it. We can do it, me and you.
Hopefully there won't be any more questions and we'll all be able to move on with our lives. Into the future, this will be the same process that's followed. This is how we select our president. I know it's an overview, but hopefully it will help you think and answer some of your questions about what feels like a prolonged process this year, even though it's just the normal process being followed. We're just not used to paying as much attention to it as we are right now. If you found this helpful, please send it to a friend, share, like, subscribe, and leave me a comment with your biggest question about the election so far. I'm looking forward to making more videos for you in the future about topics like this to help you understand your government, use your voice, and be a smart citizen. I'll see you next time.